B-Pod Studios.
So what is the real understanding? Let's break a little news here. What will happen in 2019 with that tandem and the troika of ownership, quarterback, and head coach?
Well, I promise you, ownership is sticking around.
And I think you'll see a quarterback and coach there. So that's the answer. That's the answer.
Tom, he has never walked into the final year of his deal without having it.
Well, is he walking? Redone. But we're still in the season before, so he's not in the final year of his deal.
Fair enough.
That is Jonathan and Robert Kraft. I mentioned them in order that they appeared in that clip. Last night on Boston Sports Tonight, NBC Sports Boston, giving an interview, Tommy Curran asking the questions in that clip right there about the future. And Robert Kraft goes, well, I can tell you the owner will still be here. Like, we're going to be here. We're going to still own the team, if that's what you want to know about the future.
Uh-huh.
And then Jonathan cuts him off and, you know, wants to make it real serious and says, yep, and you know,
just land that plane.
Coach, and quarterback will be here too. Everybody, relax.
That's nothing to read into.
Okay, so based on what Jonathan said at the end of that,
yeah,
which was, well, he hasn't gone into his final year without a contract.
Key point.
I think that this is key to note because that comment will mean something if he doesn't get the contract done this offseason. I hear that.
Yeah.
And I hear what he told us going back, I don't know, about a month.
Yeah.
Saying, well, I think everybody understands. So without saying it that he's going to get a contract, they've said he's going to get a new contract, right?
And I've got to think.
Is that okay to say?
I've got to think that based on those comments and sort of the content that the quarterback is having and how happy he seems, I think it may be in discussion.
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, they have a great game, like right this second.
I'm just gonna I'm just gonna say, I've seen Donyi and Dubin around. The last two games.
Whoa,
yeah.
Whoa, your guy.
Hey, Daddy.
Your guy.
You know, my boy, Big Daddy, that I love to death, just has no clue where the cameras are. Well, he'll be on in a little bit. I told you, man, jack of all trades, master of none. I mean, just you know, but I do think that the fact that there's been a presence of representation around. Tom seems happy as ever. They're making statements like that. I mean, you got to think, okay, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sit down March 8th, and we're going to hammer this thing out. I think it's a process. I think it's an ongoing process. I think there's open dialect. I think all these sides like each other. They know Brady knows what the Krafts mean to him. Krafts know what Brady means to him. It is the brand, and it'll get done.
So the indication is it's going to get done this offseason.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Isn't that great news? Big news.
Hey, especially if they win and you keep this train rolling, you think it's America's worst nightmare
so
now?
So you know what my fear was a week ago. My fear was that
play walk.
They win the game and he could walk.
And then he 0%.
He flat out told
0% chance
fear.
That's happening.
Yeah. I know, and we can all be happy about that. I'm glad that's the case because nobody wants Tom Brady to be done.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, other teams.
We'd like to have Kyrie put a percentage on, hey, are you going to stay with the Celtics or not? Is it like 97% sure or not? You know? Brady said 0% chance.
0% chance
done.
That he is retiring.
End of discussion.
None. Yeah. And now you've got, I'm going to piece together both our interview about the understanding and the interview last night about, well, he hasn't gone into his final year without a contract yet. So let's just see.
Yeah.
As sort of the teaser of, come on, guys, we're going to get something done.
Right.
We're going to get something done. Without saying it, he's saying it.
Correct.
So what happens if they don't get a deal done? Then what do we do?
I don't know.
Then we panic and we think the worst, Hardy. That's what I think.
Yeah. Absolute panic sets in.
Yes. We will ask, what went wrong?
As we sit here and we say, Brady's got him by the, you know what, like Brady's got the hammer. Like, he, he controls this thing, right? Because there's no threat right now. I don't think he would. He loves that Kraft family so much that he wouldn't put them in that spot. And I don't think they put him in the spot where they'd walk and say, you know what, we don't think you're worth this.
That's the okay.
You know what I mean?
And that's the one thing, though, where I have always believed that.
Like, I wouldn't F you over, you wouldn't F me over, I wouldn't F you over, you wouldn't F me over. You know?
At the end of the day, it comes down to one guy, right?
Yeah.
You go high enough, it always comes down to one guy. Who's the one guy who's not going to let Brady leave? It's Robert.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's.
Or Jonathan.
I think
there are times where I question who loves Tom Brady more.
Yeah, well, yeah, true enough. And I almost think of them like in a tandem.
But
when you start talking.
But part about money, though, Zoe, if that were true, why has he got all these incentives that he couldn't reach this year in his contract?
And
they'll never say you're worth X. Well, they just did that to him.
Well, just in case you have an MVP season again, you'll be compensated like it. That's all. Like that, those are numbers.
We're not going to pay you $5 million.
Sat there at the beginning when those numbers came out and said, oh, he's going to hit A, B, C, D, E, and F. We all looked at it like, wow, those are tough numbers to hit.
Yes, which is what we said right out of the gate.
And then you knew
What would Tom Brady have preferred? The $5 million in incentives or $5
million? $5
million. Okay, they didn't give him his $5 million. So they did, in essence, tell him, no, we're not giving you another $5 million.
Yeah, but,
so why couldn't they do that again this offseason? Like, no, we're not giving you what you want.
And this all could have went down, too, where maybe they weren't perfect. Maybe he wasn't totally copacetic with the coach. Maybe they weren't on the same page yet.
I think they're
on the same page now, all of them.
Okay, and as much as we talk about the winning on the field and everything that's happened on the field and how great things have been for the last month for this team, possibly that Tom Brady's happiness is not just coming from that, which should be enough to satisfy most people. But, and everyone's getting along. We've seen this. We've seen multiple displays, public displays of affection. A lot of PDA going on with Brady, Belichick, ownership, Bill telling Tom he loves him.
Right.
Tom saying, I love you too. That all happened right out there in the public. Maybe it's they're playing well, they're coming together, they're achieving things together, and oh, by the way, they're talking about a new contract that Brady really likes. Like, it could be that, too.
Could be.
It could be that everyone's getting along so well because there's a payday coming.
It seems like that's the next round. Like, it's a process. It's a step of processes or process of steps.
And if true,
right?
If this is true, that there is a contract coming down the pike for Tom Brady that makes him happy and pays him what he believes he's worth, what an epic turnaround for the Patriots franchise in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what a swing
turnaround.
Of emotion. What a
that
swing
is,
of.
That is not related to what is happening on the field. They were in the Super Bowl a year ago. We're talking about the relationships, the level of happiness, the, I guess, stability of the future. What a turnaround, if true.
Yeah. I a year ago, when Brady's sitting there saying, after they lost, you know, you gotta answer your convictions. You gotta ask, who are we doing this for? You just tell me what I'm like, and I started mentally preparing for the end. Not that he was going to walk away in the offseason, but I thought this could be it this year. That's it. Give it one more shot, one more crack. Then you get ready for the next, you know, switch in the organization, whatever direction they're going to go in. So you never know. You never know.
It
just seems like everything's turning. Everything's changed. Everything.
All right, we are live from Radio Row once again today on this Wednesday in Atlanta. And this hour of coverage from Radio Row is brought to you by the Hell of a Good Football Dip.
Lick it.
Is that the phrase?
The size of it.
Is
that
fingers.
The
catch-all there?
The tagline?
Nope. Tagline.
Nope. But dip is
hell
so
of a
good
football dip.
I'll lick that old
lick
bowl.
It.
Lick that bowl clean. Not lick it. Lick the bowl.
Okay, yeah. Lick the bowl clean.
It's kind of Parento-esque. Be careful with that.
Ooh, easy, Hardy. Easy. No. Story for another day. We are live from Atlanta. We've got guests lined up, including this hour. We'll be joined by Pro Football Hall of Famer and all-time Patriot great, John Hanna.
Hog Hanna.
Will be with us coming up later in the hour. We're going to talk about the game, continue your calls. I know that we've had a lot of guests this week, and we've had a lot of time away from the calls. I think we should make an effort to get some of those calls in today, though, because I know the next couple of days are very, very busy here on Radio Row. So why don't we get to those coming up, 617-779-0985. Your reaction to the comments last night from Robert and Jonathan Kraft on NBC Sports Boston. Is Brady getting a new contract? Is that part of his happiness right now? Could be the case. And what a turnaround. from a year ago. 617-779-0985. We're back right after this.
Ken Bertrand, live on Radio Row, 98.5 The Sports Hub. 98.5 The Sports Hub is throwing a party, in Atlanta. Join us Saturday afternoon from 2 to 6 at the Hudson Grill, Midtown Atlanta, for the Sports Hub Super Saturday Party. Big Jim Murray, Zoe Beetle, Felger and Mass, the voice of the Patriots, Bob Soucy, and special guest appearances. It's presented by Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the New England Patriots. Listen from anywhere on the Sports Hub app and watch the festivities on the Sports Hub Twitch channel. The Sports Hub Super Saturday Party in Atlanta. For more, go to 98.5thesportshub.com. Live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Solak and Bertrand, presented by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union, on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, I promise you, ownership is sticking around.
And I think you'll see our quarterback and coach there, so that's the answer.
Ask me what's funny?
Yeah.
I think it was funny that Jonathan had to cut off Robert because Robert was being a bit of a wise ass. ownership's going to be here, guy.
Jonathan don't play around. Jonathan
he did it.
Cut right
you
to
can
it.
Tell. Like,
everybody's
Robert was ready
back,
to have a laugh, and Jonathan was like, no. Yeah. I thought that was pretty good.
That was good.
That was funny to me. 617-779-0985 is a telephone number. Down here in Atlanta today, big news will be that Roger Goodell is going to speak today. His annual State of the League address will happen here at the Media Center in Atlanta.
I love when
are you going to be there? Are you going to go there, Zoe?
I love when mannequins with no lips talk.
I've checked it out before. I've gone to it before.
It's neat.
It's a fascinating scene.
It is.
Media scene, the way they handle it, the way he reacts when he sort of gets questions that he does not get at any other time in the entire year. Yeah.
What was Shaughnessy's question to him a couple years ago?
Oh, it was something good. Like, do you truly believe that?
It was in Houston.
See if Tom, if you want to take a look back and see if you can pull that up.
Yeah.
I know we have that in the archives.
But
today, it's a big one for Goodell because the league has not publicly said anything about what happened in the NFC title game.
That Saints game, man.
With the Saints and the call. And, you know, just being down here this week and just talking to people around town, that has been a bigger story, and people have wanted to talk more about that than the Super Bowl being here.
Right. Well, people wanted that. People wanted Saints Brady Breeze. That's what, if you're covering this game, you don't want this signage behind you where you look at Jared Goff's picture next to Tom Brady. No offense.
Right.
Rams people.
That
no could
offense. Have been Drew Breeze.
You earned it. You earned a trip here. Hey, Breeze shouldn't have thrown that awful pick. A lot of that's on him, too. So we sit here and we can look at that call. They still had the damn ball in overtime.
Yeah, he shouldn't have thrown
Brady
the pick.
Brady took his team down and scored.
He shouldn't have checked out of a run
to
throw the football. And
Sean Payton
the
called a run.
Yes, there's a lot of things that he shouldn't have done, but still, at the end of the day,
right?
If it's on the
and
players,
I've got
that's okay to say?
I've got to think.
When NBC Sports Boston giving an interview, Tommy Curran asking the questions in that clip right there
so dramatic
about
the outcome.
The future.
No.
NBC Sports Boston.
The Saints are going to win,
but it didn't go that way, and so that's a major story in the NFL, and the league has not addressed it, and there is some reporting on the matter today. There's a possibility, Zoe, a possibility that the league is going to welcome in a new sort of rule about challenging judgment calls. And that when you do possibly challenge a judgment call, listen to this. When you do it, and you're wrong, you get assessed with a penalty.
And it's hand together and on a flight,
like,
and especially whenever the
call address today. It's brought to you by Big Y World Class Market in New England. The big game and big.
If it's a judgment call, how do they definitively say to a degree that they can
on
penalize
Boston
you
Sports
for yardage? Or, you know, whatever they
identifies
call
people with the
wrong.
Oh,
lick it.
I think
617-779-0985. We're back right after
that.
You can challenge it either way. You could say there was not pass interference on that play, or there was pass interference and you didn't call it.
See?
And they go back and look and say, no, there was, you know, we got it right. There was no PI or there was PI. You were last night on Boston.
There's got to be where you can only have one per game.
I get what you're saying.
One.
You want them to make a second judgment on something they've already made a judgment
and
on.
Here's the thing.
At some point, someone's going to have to say, your opinion
they
is
are
wrong
going right. to re-adjudicate okay. that situation.
Well, what they're trying to do is correct what happened. A travesty happened. Like, that is as egregious and blatant.
Last night on Boston Sports and IT, NBC Sports Boston, giving an interview, Tommy Curran asking the questions in that clip right there.
About it's close.
I mentioned them in order. Last night.
Called that play. That's competitive. It's bang, bang. Mm-hmm. Hey, let him play. I'm glad to let him. No. No. If you really think we got effing hosed on that, we got to be able to challenge that. But if it's close, you're not going to challenge it. You're going to let it ride.
So that's a big story. I'm curious to see how this goes today. Sean Payton is actually having a press conference before that. Oh. Jim, why is Sean Payton having a press conference
Probably
today?
Probably because the league got to him.
Just because he wants to?
All I know is I saw somebody say Goodell speaking at 1. It'll be interesting because Sean Payton is speaking at, was it 10 Central, so 11 Eastern. He's speaking 2 hours before, so he's probably going to make a comment about it.
Where's he speaking from, here or back at the
Saints? No, he's having a press conference for the Saints at the Saints facility.
Oh, Jesus. So then the league's already planning to ease the response or the questioning.
I mean,
Goodell.
His season ended a week and a half ago.
They're freaking protecting the commissioner so he doesn't have to stand up there and take fire for it.
Oh, he's going
to
take fire.
No,
that's
he's going to take
all
fire.
All he's going to be asked about.
Sean's going to lay out, I talked to league, this is what's going on, people. Mm-hmm. So just so everybody knows. So they're putting him out there before the freaking commissioner, which is sad. Just put him out in front of, put him out first instead of Payton. Let Payton do it too.
We will definitively.
If it doesn't matter.
We will definitively know. We thought that maybe the league got to Payton beforehand when he made his statement.
Yeah.
Depending on how this goes this morning, we'll definitely know.
Yeah. Good. Give us something to talk about.
I mean, they have spoken with him. They have had conversations following the game. They got Baltimore. Together.
But did they get to him? You know, there's a difference between talking to him and getting to him.
Yeah.
You know, there's one
you
theory.
Like coaching?
There's one theory out there this week that the league very much wants the Patriots to win this Super Bowl because they don't want any business in any part of the Rams winning the Super Bowl.
Because we're getting crazy.
I'm not saying they're going to fix the game. I'm saying that they would prefer. I'm not going to any sort of, you know, conspiracy of they're going to fix the game and the refs are going to go away. I'm saying they would prefer that the outcome be the Patriots winning because it would be bad to see the Rams winning after they got here, the way they got here.
Who thought of that first? Was that you or Perillo? I know it was bounced back and forth.
No, see, his conspiracy is like the league is going to, you know, the league could get involved here, right? Like they're going to send their best soldiers in there to do their
sure.
thing on the field like the NBA
what?
Has been accused of doing over
yes.
the years. I don't think that's what's going on.
I don't either, but I love it.
I think that if you're asking people who they're rooting for within the league, they're in the awkward position of wanting to see the Patriots win.
And win handily.
It's weird. People are rooting for the Patriots here. It's weird.
It is weird.
It's weird. We're not used to this.
Yeah.
Don't mess with our heads.
But don't make it any kind of situation like you could look at it and say, oh, if the Saints were there, they would have not only given them a game, but they could have won that thing. They want the. I think there are a fair number of people just to clean this thing up want the Patriots to win handily. So it's like, nah, it doesn't matter who showed up from the NFC. The Patriots were going to win that game.
Right.
So don't worry about that missed call at the end of the NFC Championship.
You tack on the Patriots' performance in a Super Bowl if it is a rout to what they did in the AFC title game against the Chiefs. And the way they manhandled the Chargers the week before, you can make that case. Oh, look at the run they went on.
Yes.
Look at that streak of those three games back to back to back, how they just killed everybody. That could be a nice, tidy way of, you know, putting a bow on this thing,
right.
Ending the season. It's like, it didn't matter. The Saints didn't get there. They would have lost.
Yeah, the only part where that conspiracy theory falls apart is when you go to step two. Okay, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to make all the calls go the Patriots' way, and we're not going to give the Rams any call. It's like, okay, then it all crumbles. Like, what are you doing? You know, how can you legitimately say that's going to happen? You hear that? Did you hear a sound?
Yeah. Okay. What was that?
I think I fixed it. It's always my computer.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's here.
Something playing
Atlanta.
Through the speaker?
Yeah. Dorchester, doesn't matter. Yeah. There's something always playing.
It's far less noticeable here, though.
All right.
617-779-0985. Scott is in Weymouth.
Scott.
Things are a little slow on this screen.
Hi, Scott.
Scott, are you with us?
Boom.
Well, hey, the screens are consistent with me. I'm a little slow today myself.
I'm slow this morning.
It makes sense. All right, a couple of points. Boom, that's right. What's up? What's up?
All right, we got a few points.
Burchan, give me 60 seconds, kid. Listen, as for the NFL rules, the NHL does the same thing when it comes to challenging the offsides. If you want to challenge it, go ahead. But if you're wrong, you get a two-minute penalty. And that's exactly what should happen with the NFL. You've talked about this a minute ago. So my question, too, is we've already ripped this game apart. How much more can we talk about it? I want to know, how's the nightlife in Atlanta?
Yeah.
How are the strip clubs, the restaurants? And then I'll get to the game if I'm granted the time.
You probably want to call the 2 o'clock show today because they had their night out last night.
Those guys are living the life.
I'm sure Murray.
I have not been to a really good restaurant. Well, I have not been.
They haven't been to media day.
What have you guys been doing for 3 days?
We've been working. Been working.
What? Actually, there is show prep, actually. People think you guys are on from 10 to 2, a 4-hour show. It's actually a 10-hour day, correct?
Yeah, right? Thank you.
I agree. All right, let's get a quick comment on the game.
Yeah, boom. Sure. Why not?
Boom.
All right, boom. Pats, I swear. I've been wrong before. Ask my bookie. I've been wrong before. But the Pats are going to kill them. They're going to kill them. I swear to God, if I have to make a time to play the prediction game, I really think they're going to kill them. I'm talking 44-13. Ish. That, really? You're going to give a second year, third year? What year is Goff of quarterback? What year is he?
Third.
You're going to put a third-year quarterback up against Belichick, who's had 2 weeks to prepare in Brady's on. Get real. This is going to be a blowout, you'll see.
All right, Scott. Hey. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
I'm not ruling that out as a possibility. I'm not. I know the
it's
Patriots
too weird a game.
I know the Patriots have played in a lot of close Super Bowls.
They're due for one. They're due for a Montana versus Denver in New Orleans type game.
I just think this entire way, 10. Their entire way of getting to this point has been different than the way they've always done things. It's all completely different. It is. The nightlife? I wouldn't know yet.
Nightlife.
Got in Sunday night. Monday night we had opening night.
Beds are nice.
Last night, Hardy and I went to the, Zoe did too, we all went to the media party for a little bit.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, nice.
I have sat down for one meal so far.
Yeah.
That was at Arby's. That was the one meal I've actually sat down and had. Otherwise, it's been standing up, eating.
Zoe and I stopped for a drink after the show yesterday. Got some appetizers with Jim.
Got a salad. Had a salad.
Yeah. You had a wedge.
Had a wedge salad.
I went with the shrimp cocktail.
I had breakfast at the hotel. I had a wedge salad.
wasn't a full meal.
We had finger food at the media party.
Maybe like Sunday I'll have a better understanding of these things in Atlanta. I don't even think those other guys did anything wild last night. They didn't make it to any of those jiggly rooms, as you would say, Hardy. Didn't go to any of those.
Who you talking about? The afternoon crew?
Yeah, they didn't go to. They did not go to one of those places.
I can't wait to see the color of.
They went out drinking, but they didn't go to one of those spots.
But the complexion, like the 2 p.m. complexion check for Felger and Mazin.
I don't think they were out that late either.
It's the hot lamp sweat that gets to you. Like, how late were you guys out in New Orleans that year where you were you were sweating on air?
I told you the first day I was out until 6 a.m.
I hit it.
Jeff Howell and I looked
at it.
Jeff Howell looked at it.
You got to come
down. Polonsky remembers. He was there.
I go, you got to come down here. Look, I was yelling at him. I said, you got to come down here and look at this kid, this Beetle kid. He's on Felger Mass. He's going to puke on air.
I looked at my phone. I said, Jeff.
You couldn't open your eyes.
It's 5:30 in the morning.
And he goes,
yeah? So?
How?
Like, dude, it's 5:30. We got to go home.
How had a baseball hat on last night? I didn't recognize him. He looked like he was 12. He's got that baby face.
He's got his Lowell Spinners hat on.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Kevin in Worcester. Kevin.
Yes, I'm a little bit disgruntled about this replay baloney. Reason being, replay, first of all, doesn't ensure the refs will get it right because they replayed the Clement touchdown from last year's Super Bowl and still called it a touchdown. And then nobody cared about implementing replays when Richard Seymour.
Yeah, but real quick on that. They changed the rule on the ruling.
Not legally they didn't.
Before the game.
Not legally.
They just talked about it.
They just decided they wanted to call it differently.
Right.
Yeah, no. They changed the rule, but they just didn't inform either team that they changed the
rule.
Dude,
I'm with you on that. Yeah, that was their out on that.
I mean, give me a break. They changed the rule. That was their excuse. Don't say they changed the rule, please, because that's baloney.
They didn't change the rule.
They would have
told people. They got it wrong.
Yeah, thank you. All right, now again, how come, and this is a rhetorical question because everyone knows no one's going to cry for the Patriots. That's how come. Drew Brees is a lovable loser. That's how come. But how come we didn't talk about this replay baloney when Richard Seymour was in a headlock for the helmet catch in 2007? And there's one more. And I have one more.
Yeah, okay.
And I have one more. We didn't talk about replay when Chris Hogan got exploded on the Hail Mary in the Super Bowl last year. So, I mean, what do you want to talk about replay for now? It's only because Drew Brees is a lovable loser. And I'll let you guys finish it up for me. Thank you.
Well, I think it was an egregious call in the final minutes that determined the outcome of a very important game.
It wasn't even close.
That's what it is.
Any of the other calls
he mentioned were not as egregious.
If that play happened, you're right, Hardy. If that play happened mid-second quarter, we're not discussing it.
Correct.
That happened at the two-minute warning.
Correct.
Hey, that changed the game. Sorry. No.
617-779-0985, as I mentioned. What?
You want a break here?
Yeah, we're going to. Okay. I'm just going to say, as
a little,
I meant.
A little late.
You seem nervous.
No.
What?
How did Jim start snapping?
Man. No. Today's going to be your day.
Well, my day, man.
We got John Hanna coming up in about 15 minutes. Also, Ryan Leaf is going to join us in the noontime hour today. And I'm sure we're going to have some other guests stopping by. I just don't know exactly who yet. There's a lot of people.
What's up, man? Who is it? It's Leaf, dog. Who?
A lot of people floating around today that could end up on this show. It's all happening today. Breer is going to join us. Bert will be with us at some point. We're getting your calls on this Wednesday from Radio Row in Atlanta. This hour of coverage brought to you by Hell of a Good Football Dip.
Sports Hub headlines.
The frenzy that is Super Bowl week continues. Roger Goodell going to make his annual Super Bowl week address later this afternoon. We're live on Radio Row here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Bruins lost their first game back from the All-Star break, 4-3 last night in a shootout to Winnipeg. Patrice Bergeron scored twice. Patrice?
I thought I felt pretty good. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you got to keep things simple, especially early on. And I thought we had some pretty good plays, and that's it. I mean, you're playing a good line and up, and you know, it's a great challenge. I thought it was one of those games.
David Pastrnak scored the other Bruins goal. Brad Marchand assisted on all three. Bees will stay home to play the Flyers tomorrow night. Celtics tonight at the TD Garden. The Hornets are in town for a 7:30 tip. That means a 7 o'clock pregame of Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by O'Connor Family Law. It's time for divorce. Protect your family, children, and future with a trusted team for divorce and custody representation in Massachusetts. FamilyLawMA.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get your headlines anytime on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand, live on Radio Row, on air, and streaming on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Zolak and Bertrand are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, presented by DCU Digital Federal Credit Union on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Adios and bye, Uncle Neil. Yeah, I'm leaving GA. And if it weren't for tequila and pretty senoritas, I'd have no reason to stay. Adios and vaya con Dios. Yeah, I'm leaving GA.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand here on Radio Row, Georgia World Congress Center. Just steps from where they're going to play the game on Sunday night.
Literally.
Mercedes-Benz. You been over there yet for anything?
No.
You haven't been in the stadium, right?
No, you can't get in.
I know some of our guys who've been in there setting up. Say it's nice.
Pretty,
nice place.
Pretty place.
Bad
seat in the house.
What I didn't know, and it's cold here today. It was cold yesterday. The weather is looking good for the weekend if you're coming down here.
Mid-60s.
The roof call is made on Sunday.
Yeah.
I thought that it would be closed no matter what. Yeah, it's a Super Bowl. Control the environment.
Right.
Yeah. They will consider opening that roof on Sunday. It will be a day call, day of game type
of
call.
I think it's a hell of a
on
look.
On the roof.
It won't affect the wind because it's almost, it's a round
It's sort of like
hole.
The Cowboys, you know, have had forever. right?
Yeah, but even smaller. It's more. It's like a round hole above the field. You know what I mean? It's not long. It's not
the
long.
What?
The field.
Oh.
The field.
The field.
I would think it would be a security issue as much as anything.
We've talked about that in the past.
It's a no-fly zone, though.
Yeah, it's being...
They have... You know,
monitored.
Drones. It's monitored space. Don't be giving people crazy ideas.
Oh, like I'm the first person to ever think of that. I think it'd be cool, too. I hope they do it.
Keep it close.
Different look.
Keep it closed, do you think?
Yeah. Right, now I just scared Zoe.
Yep.
All right.
I don't know. So look, here's a picture.
Did you ever see how the roof opens? It is cool, man.
I don't know if they're
showing. Five different pieces.
They might be showing a picture on television. We have no way of knowing what's on TV.
It's pretty cool.
This week. We have no monitor to tell us. That's pretty good size.
We're on TV this week?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what those cameras are for. Huh. Where'd Big Daddy go? Is he all right?
Are we on Switch?
No. Twitch.
Twitch.
Are we on Fletch?
Yeah. Rosie's in Boston on the possibility of challenging judgment calls in the NFL. Hi, Rosie.
Hey, yeah, replay on judgment calls, the punishment for it only makes sense if it's a non-call. If you're called for pass interference and you think it's not, you're going to be assessed a penalty whether
Correct.
You don't challenge or you challenge and you don't get it right. So this kind of doesn't make sense.
So it's, I get exactly what you're saying. If you get flagged for 15 yards on a PI...
See, that's the thing.
And you don't agree with it, and then you get it wrong. What do they tack on more?
Like,
what do they do?
What would you do?
So the fact that Roger Goodell's putting this out there as a solution, not thinking it through, kind of makes you question how smart people are over at headquarters.
Yeah, we only know what's been reported, so maybe they've got a better plan. I doubt he's going to get up there today, though, and tell us what that plan is.
Let me ask you a question.
This all has to go through the competition committee. It's part of it too.
Okay. Do you remember the call on Kelsey where he's running a post corner in the end zone, and J.C. Jackson turns back to look for the ball. The ball's thrown, and he didn't get the opportunity to go for the ball. It was actually Kelsey. And what would you do if you're the Patriots? Would you that play?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought it was a bad call.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but see, is that too close? Though is my point. So what's How is the league going to overturn that?
I don't think
because I thought it was so close.
Yeah, that one you can't overturn.
I think it should have been a no call. Like you can't overturn. So then Patriots are going to penalize. How much more can you get penalized on a kickoff?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so confusing, man.
Tim is in Quincy. Hey, Tim.
Yeah, guys.
Yeah.
My issue with the officials, to be quite honest, and I've been saying it for years, is their age. I would think the prototypical official would be about 40 years old from the Naval Academy, former football players, and there needs to be a way of checking these guys' phones to see who they're in contact with. I don't think they fix the games. Mm-hmm. But I think they fix the spread.
I
could point to so many games, guys, even this year. The Jets game coming off a bye. They called 13 penalties against us, which we don't do.
Go back and look at it. 11 of them were justifiable.
11 was justifiable.
11.
Yes,
the only one
totally.
That wasn't justifiable was the hold on Trent Brown,
yep.
And it was a cheap shot called on David Andrews where he made no contact, but it looked like he lunged at some guy's legs.
The problem with this is you have to get so
Two
many
penalties.
Guys involved when you're talking about referees fixing football. Basketball, sure. And basketball, it's the only game where you can put points on the board for you know, one team or the other by sending them to the free throw line. But for football, we're going to get the whole crew involved and we're all going to agree and we're all going to do this. For what? That's a pretty good job, NFL referee.
John Hanna.
It's a tough job.
John Hanna will join us coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand live on Radio Row 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Zolak and Bertrand live on Radio Row, presented by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union, on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from Atlanta here on Radio Row. We're joined in a we have someone in our Big Y World Class Market guest chair. Very special guest joining us. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Patriot great John Hanna is here. John, nice to see you.
Well, it's good to be here.
John, you were brought to us by DJO and DJO's Empower 3D Knee.
Right.
What is that all about?
3D Knee?
I mean, 3D. I mean, there's
DJ. How does it sound? DJ?
How's it 3D?
Very simple. Usually most knee braces just go back and forth, right?
Right.
This one also allows side to side. So what it does, it gives you more motion. And also when they scope your knee to fix it, instead of, you know, usually just taking a two-dimensional picture, they also go with the depth. So it's a better fit, more motion, lasts longer. It's a good knee. When I get my knee cut on and get it replaced, that's the one I'm going
with. Is it all neoprene or do you have some metal?
It's metal, but it's still, I don't know. I'm not an engineer. I'm an offensive lineman,
right.
For goodness sake.
We'll get Ron O'Neill to come in and tape you
absolutely.
up.
Absolutely.
I just want to know what a brace is. If it allows side to side and back and forth, what's a brace?
Well, it doesn't allow it all the way over.
Right. Okay.
It, you know, there's some limits, but it still permits some side to side.
It's almost like a robot.
Gotcha.
So DJO's developed a breakthrough technology with the Empower 3D Knee.
Right.
Higher patient satisfaction rating than any other joint replacement company in America.
Absolutely.
That's pretty good. Get to their website, djoknee.com is where you go for that. Offensive line. A lot of offensive line talk this week leading up to the Super Bowl, the importance of it. You must like that. Anytime the offensive line is getting credit, is getting talked about, its importance in the game, because the offensive line can get forgotten about.
Well, to be honest with you, I kind of enjoyed it myself. Because then, when I missed a pass protection, they wouldn't boo me so bad.
that too many times is the only time the offensive line gets talked about when things are going poorly.
Yeah, that's right.
And I feel in this game, both offensive lines have played really well, and they're being talked about prior to the game. But with the Patriots, so often we talk about coaching and the importance of coaching on the offensive line, and how the Patriots have Dante Scarnecchia, who I know you know, he's been there for a million years.
What does the
coach do in these situations that can make an offensive line as a unit better than maybe the sum of its parts?
If you think about football, really, the reason they call running backs, defensive linemen, linebackers, those are skilled positions. And the reason they're skilled positions is because it relies on talent. They're a dime a dozen. But then if you think about quarterbacks, defensive backs, and offensive linemen, those positions are learned positions. In other words, it's all technique driven. There's no – you can't just come in and play it. You've got to learn. So that's why it's so important for having a coach. You've got to have somebody that's a true technician that can teach you how to do certain things at certain times in certain situations.
I grew up a Steeler fan, and they used to have this thing. And you also had the Cowboy shift at the time back in the 70s and 80s. Everybody get up, put the hands in the all five linemen would go down a three-point stance. Mm. You watch tape today and you watch games today. The end guys, they're basically in a two-point stance all day.
Right, all day.
Does that
long.
Drive you crazy, or is that tough? Is that tough to run block from a two-point stance?
I found it. I hated a two-point stance, even pass protection. Of course, I was, you know, the biggest people, you know, when I played, the biggest criticism I had was I was too aggressive, and I was, I guess. But anyway, as an offensive lineman, I hated being in a two-point stance, even in pass protection. I like my weight forward a little
bit. Get you on your heels.
Yeah, and I liked it, and it kept me lower, I felt, to the ground. And that was one advantage that I had on my opponent. So I see it differently, but they do it, and good Lord, you know, I was knocking on 6'3". Of course, I was little even when I played, but these guys today are
6'8".
Yeah. I mean, when they walk in the door, it blocks out the sun, you know, it's unbelievable.
But you were playing, as you said, with guys who were bigger and against, and you were considered even small at the time.
Yeah,
but that aggressive style of play, I was always heard of it and thought of it as speed, which I don't think you see as much of anymore. You don't think of, like, fast offensive lineman, but that's kind of what you were known for. That was your calling card.
Well, I mean, I wasn't super fast, but I still ran a 4.8, you know, at 270 pounds, so I wasn't too bad.
That's moving.
But,
you know, I could, but we were fullbacks in essence in a lot of situations. We had to, you know, it was much more run oriented offense, And, you know, we were allowed to use our heads. So when we, what our goal was is to get my head in your chest, get my foot down, get my head in your chest, and to lift you up so that when I got your weight off over your feet, I could push your back.
Do you want to show it on him?
No.
No.
But I'm just telling you, you know, it's a different game. Now it's all, I tell everybody, it's like today is Greco-Roman versus freestyle. Yeah. Wrestling, you know, it's all upper body.
It's been a long time since you guys went Super Bowl, going back to '86. But the group of guys you play with, I flew down, tips on the plane.
Yeah.
He's still that guy, you know. He walks in the room, you know, stares at you, you know. And he's still intimidating. He's getting a little bit older. Guys like Grogan, see him all the time. Tim Fox, all the guys you play with, you still talk to them?
Oh yeah,
Steve
I talk
Nelson?
To them all the time.
Yeah,
Grogs every now and then. I talk to Tip and to Nelly quite often, and it's always fun to see those guys.
Yeah.
They're a hoot.
I usually do some of the basketball games in the off season. We would always play those charity things against the cops and our fire departments. Now we haven't played them in a while. But it's about 3 years ago. Grogan and guys like the Aussie starting fights with these guys, like taking legs out.
Well,
it's
show
competition. It's like Rocky IV, man.
No, that's the difference between generations. You know, we took things.
He's a policeman.
You can't not compete. If it's a game, you're supposed to win.
Yeah.
And now you go after it.
And
Grogan is a competitor now.
He's the one starts it all.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, playing Pittsburgh one time, 76. We were behind. We were going in on the go-ahead touchdown. He runs an old bootleg. So anyway, he completes the pass. We get the critical for a third down. Well, Dwight White spits at him, and Grogan sitting here, and he's going, trying to suck. He had a cotton mouth. Couldn't work up a spit, so he just made the sound. And started out World War III, so it's still the same.
Yeah.
It's still the same.
Was that the best Patriots team you ever played on?
76 or 78 were probably the two better teams. As far as offensive line, probably the 78 team. We still hold that rushing record. You know, I think it's, 3,200 yards.
What year did Brock get there? He was the center.
He came in 79 primarily.
Right, yeah.
That was Bill Linkaitis, Sam Adams, Shelby
the
Jordan.
The dentist, Linkaitis.
So I have a tooth problem. I was a rookie, so I come in as a rookie in 90. And he's like, we're sent to this guy by the name of Bill Linkaitis. Bill Linkaitis, I get down. So I get down there. The hair's cut on the sides, but the toupee's all pulled over on the top. And he comes in and shakes my hands, and they are like freaking gorilla hands, like the hands of a silverback.
Look like
catcher's mitt. Yeah, and he's like, let me get in. Let me take a look. And he rips the corner of my mouth. So my mouth's cut on the side because his hands are trying to get in there.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you're going to need a root canal. So he can't get that wraparound thing. You can see I still have the tooth issue from it because I had double root canal, and I had to have the damn thing pulled because of Link, God rest his soul. But he's in there chipping away. You don't, football player, you don't need any more. You don't need more gas or shoot you up. I'm like, but shoot my ass up. I'm feeling everything you're doing, you know? And he's just like, wow, did you go to dentist school? Yeah. But, he was great, man. I always loved seeing him. He's just a bundle of fun.
He
was always revved up in games,
popping head.
The glass. Yeah.
Had about a size 8.5 helmet.
Same thing.
Big guy.
Big head. Yeah. All right, John, they're telling us we got to wrap up. You got more people to see here in Atlanta.
Thanks, John.
I appreciate you coming by. I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate y'all having me on.
All right. And as you told me before, you didn't drive down here. You drove across.
Okay.
We came down. You came across.
You came down. I came across.
What, did you drive a pickup truck? Or you got
matter of fact, I had to go a little north to get here.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame.
It's awful.
Hey, how about they close the schools down if there's no snow? It's crazy down here.
Hey, it was cold, wasn't it?
It was cold.
Y'all close. If y'all can close schools for the heat, we can close schools for the cold.
I don't know that we close schools for the heat.
Well, I know Connecticut did one time.
Not really.
All right, we're even.
It's a rest.
One.
I'm not counting Connecticut. John Hanna, a Football Hall of Famer and all-time Patriot great. Our thanks to him. Thanks, John.
Appreciate
it. Joining
nice
us in our
you.
Big Y World Class Market so, guest chair. We'll head to the headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're back from Radio Row.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, this is the flagship station of the AFC champion New England Patriots. WBZ-FM at 81 Buster 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.